Hello and a very warm welcome to our podcast, The World Outside. I'm Maha Siddiqui. The UK Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab is in India, and amongst a lot of other things that will be discussed during the meeting, especially with regards to the Indo-UK ties post-Brexit, one interesting aspect will be that of the Indo-Pacific and how Britain can participate and weigh in the Indo-Pacific vis-a-vis China. I have with me a special guest today, Commodore Udhay Bhaskar, who is a defence analyst and will be able to help us understand what Britain can bring to the table. Welcome, Commodore Bhaskar.
Thank you.
So the first question is with regards to a policy tilt towards India in the Indo-Pacific. Do you see Britain doing that? A think tank in Britain has proposed such a thing, but do you see them doing it in the near future?
My reading is that the visit of the British Foreign Secretary is preparatory to the visit of the British Prime Minister, Mr. Johnson, when he would be the chief guest at the Republic Day celebrations in January 2021. Now, amongst the many issues that would be on the table, there is reference to a mutual defense logistics support agreement. And along with this, I think they are looking at various aspects where they could be the equivalent of a meaningful win-win for India and Britain, particularly in the maritime domain, where there is a certain pedigree associated with Britain, the Royal Navy, and the entire techno-industrial ecosystem that Britain has nurtured for over a century. It's in that context, I think, India would be looking at some kind of a signal from London about whether or not it wants to weigh in as far as the Indo-Pacific is concerned, because there are two issues here. One is political, which relates to China and the way in which any kind of initiative related to the Indo-Pacific would have a bearing on that particular country's relationship with China. That's the first, which I think is a big ticket item in a political diplomatic sense. The second is capacity, meaning that even if a country like Britain, located where it is, does show some intent about being engaged with or involved in the affairs of the Indo-Pacific, the question that comes to mind is, what does it bring to the table? Britain has been reviewing its own plans about funding assets, and there is a raging debate about the shrinking of the Royal Navy and whether or not Britain would want to invest that kind of funding support for sustaining the Royal Navy. So I think these two issues would have to be discussed. And interestingly, preparatory to Mr. Johnson's visit, I understand that the HMS Queen Elizabeth, the Royal Navy's aircraft carrier, would also be in the Indian Ocean. And the interesting aspect is that France, which is a resident power in the Indian Ocean because of its Réunion Island, Germany more recently, and now Britain, are all differently showing some degree of interest about the Indo-Pacific. So India would have to calibrate, I think, how to engage with these European nations. Maha?
Also, Commodore Bhaskar, UK has suggested, and these were reports, that there should be a G7+3, which should look at alternative sources for 5G technology, reducing dependence on China. And the plus three they had proposed included India as well. Donald Trump after that had also suggested that the G7 should be expanded. In fact, had also extended an invitation to India. But do you see this realistically happening, and how critical will this be in the global context?
You know, the second part of your question, I think, is relevant. 5G, to my mind, would be a very critical technology for determining the global technological order with all its strategic connotations. So there is a techno-strategic dimension about 5G, and most of the major advanced nations with a ecosystem that can sustain such R&D and related activities in 5G are all aware or cognizant of the importance of 5G. India is not at the same level as the Western nations and Japan are as far as the investment in R&D related to 5G is concerned. So to that extent, I think India needs to, I think, find the appropriate partnership. And this is where I think the effort that had been, in a way, initiated during the Trump years is something that needs to be examined very carefully. Because as a security analyst, I would go to the extent of saying that the future of modern warfare, and more than actual war fighting, I think the kind of compellence that you can bring to bear with military capability would to a very large extent be influenced by a country's capability in 5G, what is called as spectrum management and spectrum domination, or even denial of spectrum access, and artificial intelligence. In a way, they're all interrelated. So I think for India, exploring certain niches with the UK, which again I think would be part of a larger global partnership, would be a desirable activity. But 5G is the future, and I think India should maximize whatever opportunities, because like the United States, UK has a certain ecosystem in its universities, and I would say in the larger R&D infrastructure, which is why even in a completely unrelated domain like public health and COVID, we are looking at UK as one of the players in terms of the vaccine. So I think that is the kind of profile that Britain represents. And 5G, I think, is an important area for India. And there is, I think, in this particular visit of the British Foreign Secretary, Mr. Dominic Raab, my sense is that technology cooperation is going to be a big item on the agenda. And it ranges all the way from 5G, I imagine, to even more, I would say, familiar technologies like jet engine technology, where Britain has a certain capability and India is looking at that, sixth-generation fighter aircraft, you know, the traditional motherhood apple pie issues for any military, and more advanced, I would say, issues like 5G and related communication technologies.
Commodore Bhaskar, but looking at how China has reacted to certain developments in the recent past with regards to technology in India specifically, when India banned these mobile apps, Chinese mobile apps, China called them in contravention of WTO norms. Then again, with UK, when they took a decision on Huawei 5G, they threatened retaliation and had also indulged in some moves which can be seen as retaliation. In this context, how do you see countries coming together to counter China as far as technology is concerned, which you are yourself saying is very critical in this new geopolitical order?
My reading again is that there would be some clarity after Mr. Joe Biden assumes office as the U.S. president on Jan 20th, because the Trump years have been very turbulent, and even on technology, while Mr. Donald Trump had made certain announcements, the follow-up has not been as effective, largely because of the political turbulence and the uncertainty associated with U.S. policy. With Mr. Biden in the saddle, my reading is that the like-minded countries, which have a certain anxiety about China and the kind of domination that China might be able to exercise in relation to 5G and other technologies, there would be some kind of consensus about the way ahead of how to proceed. And this is where I think what each country brings to the table would be very, very relevant. Because there are many countries that are sitting on the fence in relation to 5G. It's a bit, and I often use this analogy of the inexpensive Chinese phone and all the other software that it brings, the cell phone. Whatever countries may say at the political level, the global citizen now is looking for access. And China is an inexpensive option for many countries. So this kind of balancing about the so-called free market and what is available and the degree to which states can regulate the choices of their own citizens where it's a consumer product is going to be very tricky. And I think 5G in a way symbolizes all these, I would call, technological opportunities and challenges. So I think if the U.S. is able to take some kind of a position, which the other countries could then review in relation to their own interests, I think then we might have some kind of sense of what is the path ahead. At the moment, I think it's very, very opaque, and even China, I think, is in a bit of a bind on this, because 5G and whatever China does in the global context would also be related, I think, to its overall macro initiative, which is the BRI, which apart from the physical infrastructure, also envisions a technological infrastructure. So they're all interlinked. Now, can China go ahead by completely delinking from the major powers, which is the United States, the European Union, Japan, and India, who would be relevant players when we talk about whatever the United States may embark upon in relation to the management and the denial of certain technology opportunities to countries like China in particular?
And finally, I want to go back once again to the issue of Indo-Pacific, because now I want to move to the other two countries that you mentioned, Germany and France. Since they have shown more inclination towards Indo-Pacific, tweaking their policy as well, do you see that having made any difference on the ground per se as far as China's behavior is concerned, and can it have an implication in the near future?
Well, I would say again that China is aware of the fact that in the last few months, many of the major powers are now, in a way, I think, giving expression to their concern and their fear about the way in which China is asserting itself. This has happened if you look at the COVID year, 2020. I would say the last 7 to 8 months have seen an articulation of this discord with China. Some are ugly examples, as we have seen in the case of Australia. Others have been more muted, which is particularly in relation to countries like Germany, to an extent France and Britain. So I think the Xi Jinping leadership would be studying the fallout of what they call as this wolf warrior diplomacy that they have embarked upon, where now China is not so careful about what it says. And there have been certain instances where China has even gone to the extent of saying that we are a big power and just lump it. You have to live with what we do. I mean, that is an extreme reduction of what China has said. And you see Chinese ambassadors in many global capitals now who stand up and tick off the host government for what they believe are remarks that they believe are unfair to China. But China, I believe, again, cannot proceed in a manner that it is oblivious to the rest of the world. And I think they are trying very hard to see, number one, how the Biden presidency is going to calibrate or recalibrate the U.S.-China relationship. And related to that, how will these four capitals, that is Paris, Berlin, London, and Moscow, relate to the new U.S.-China relationship? And I think that would give India a sense, because we also would have to find the necessary space to be able to identify how to deal with these three capitals who are differently relevant and critical to India, that is Washington, Beijing, and Moscow.
Commodore Bhaskar, many thanks for that insightful conversation, sir. That's it then on this week's podcast. Thanks for listening in.